Hebrews chapter 11. Appreciate those words from Sister Tammy and from Brother Ledbury this morning. We have a challenge on our hands, don't we? What was it that Ben Franklin said to that woman? She said, "Sir, what have you given us?" He said, "A republic, if you can keep it." And here we are trying to keep it. Hebrews 11. You got it? Say amen. We will be leaving this afternoon for a few days. Appreciate Brother Ronnie leading services tonight and Wednesday. And a lot of you came this morning thinking he was preaching. I fooled you. Come back tonight for that. Hebrews 11. Let's pray. God, we love you so much, and we are faced this day when we the reality of how we've gotten where we are. Because others are willing to pay the price. God, I pray that we'll not take for granted what we've been entrusted with, what we've been given. That there will be stewards of freedom and of liberty. That we'll be stewards of this hub of faith. How important America is to missions around the world. And I pray that you will use us, God, in all that you've given us. And pray that you'll use us to make a difference. And I pray that you'll use this time we have together now. In Jesus' name, amen. In Hebrews, we have a chapter of the heroes of our faith. And tomorrow we recognize the heroes of our country. It is, in fact, something that some have on their minds every day, as we shared this morning, because they've paid that price. But tomorrow the nation stands, should stand. And that we didn't get here by accident. What we have is not free. It was paid with a very high price. And so when I think of heroes, as I pondered a hero, the heroes of the Bible, in fact, the warriors of the Bible, I came up with three. And then the idea of heroes brought me to chapter 1, and then I found those three are here. Because God has given us examples. You know, when we especially remember and honor the heroes of our country, we realize they accepted mission. They paid the ultimate price. They fought against evil, the evil force of tyranny, a word that's made a comeback. The evil force of genocide. We stand on the good side. We realize that they gave their lives, but do we also realize they saved lives? They saved lives. They didn't go to die, to fight, to win. They went because their country needed them and sent them out. But they did not come home. And I'm also mindful, as we're reminded every day, that there are some who brought the war home and they fight it still. And so let's be mindful that what we have is cherished, this freedom, this liberty. We go back to where we gained our independence and then had fighting among ourselves and then fought back the enemies. And now, usually it's not defending our homeland as much as it is defending the helpless that we send our troops to war. The politics of it is not for us to debate today, because we're not remembering the politics of it. We're remembering the ones who went. And I wonder, do we have such honor among us? And the truth is, as I look around the room, we do. We have those who accepted the commission to go, who rose to the challenge. The difference is you made it home. The difference is they didn't. But the honor is there. The honor, the love of country is there. And then I look beyond that and I say, do we have such honor within us? The honor that says there's something worthy of my life. There's something worthy of me to accept the call, to accept the commission, to go and to live and to do and maybe to fight. It's necessary to die for it. I hate to think that we've reached that point in our country, that we would have to die in our own country to defend our rights. I hope that's not the case. But I do know that we've got causes. The cause of Christ is one that we can accept that commission and be willing to go. We don't fight with swords or with weapons of war, but with the Word of God, with hope and love and forgiveness, with faith. Those are our tools in this battle. We've got to be committed, whether it means dying for our family, dying for our country, dying for our faith. Are we committed enough to do it? Do we have enough honor to look beyond ourselves and beyond our wants and wishes, our desires? Are we willing to look beyond ourselves and think of what is the best for the most? What is for the good of the cause? Are we cowering? Guys, right now, it's a battle of words and a battle of attitudes. I don't want to get into argument. I don't want to debate. I don't want to fight. But we've got to stop being cowards when it comes to freedom of speech, when it comes to truth, when it comes to fighting lies, when it comes to fighting back this attack against Christianity. And we are not persecuted. We're going to read stuff about persecution here. We've never come close to that. Why? Is it because they had honor and we don't? Is it because our enemies are not as ruthless as theirs were? Is it because we cower and back away and hide instead of confronting the enemy? We've lost a lot of ground in this country. We could sit around and talk, and you could tell me about the America you grew up in, the town you grew up in. Speaking with somebody yesterday, and he said, you know, where are you from? And when I told him, he said, oh, that's rough. I said, it didn't used to be. It didn't used to be. That's where we've gone. How did we get there? What was the change? Well, I can tell you one change is we took God. We decided God didn't need to be in the marketplace and God didn't need to be in the schoolhouse. In fact, some have even gone so far as to say God doesn't need to be in a church. You can go across the country today in places that have a steeple and a sign and call themselves church, and you can go inside and there's no God in there. God's not there. God's Word is not there. It's not being preached. You say, which church is that? Well, I don't know. I come here. We have God here. But as I talk to people and I listen to what's going on around the country, I know there are places that call themselves churches that dismiss Christ from their service. They have relieved God of His obligation in their church. And they are no longer a church. Call themselves what they want to, but if they're not preaching the gospel, their candlestick's gone. The light is out. According to the book of Revelation. Bring your Bible with you. Did you think I wasn't going to use mine? Guys, I'm serious about that. If we are not committed to the cause of Christ, to the high price even of giving our lives if necessary, then we are not committed. And I know that it's all philosophical until you step up to it. I know that. But we've got to have that kind of in our hearts to say, I'm willing to die for this book. I'm willing to die for God. I'm willing to die for the gospel. I don't want to be martyred. I don't want to be persecuted. If we're not willing to die, then we're not willing to live. If we're not willing to die for God, then we're not willing to live for God. Weigh that out. Think about it. That's the truth. Verse 32. What shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon? One of those warriors, one of those heroes I thought of, Gideon. Of Barak, of Samson, another one of those warriors. Of Jephthah, of David, King David. And Samuel and of the prophets. You see, as we look at this group of men, we see that some of them, judges, one king, one prophet, look at the differences of what they faced. Some fought, and by the way, they fought with many different weapons of war, didn't they? A battle. And yet we see that some were warriors. They fought a physical battle. Physical battles for the cause of God, which was the nation of Israel. Which was the truth. That's what God was doing, was he was building something up. Their cause was the God of truth. And they fought physical battles. And then we find Samuel and the prophets, he says. The prophets did not physically fight. Their job was to fight a spiritual battle, to mount a spiritual army with the Word of God, with the preaching of God, by the Spirit of God, the truth of God. And that's what we need today. Look, the church can't be going out there and getting in physical altercations. We're not calling on the church to bring a revolution of a physical sense, but of a spiritual sense, of a biblical sense, of a godly sense, to preach the truth, to right the wrong, to expose the wrong. And we're so afraid to speak up because somebody might call us names. By the way, and in this culture, you might get fired. You might get run out of town. If that's the kind of town we're there. But we've got to take a stand for what's true, what's right. But first, we've got to know what's true and what's right. We fight our battle, this spiritual battle, with truth, number one. And with hope. Hope. Guys, we can't give up on America. We can't give up on winning souls. We can't give up on the function and the calling of the church. We are here to be energized to go back out there and show people the way of Christ, to show them the way to heaven. You want people to go to heaven? How many of you want people to get saved to go to heaven? How many of you want people to go to hell? Well, there's only one other option. If they don't make a decision to go to heaven through Jesus Christ, then by by default, there you go. By default, they go to hell. Thank you. That's the only alternative. So we've got to show them the way. That is in the Bible. That's not just me saying that. That's what the Bible says. Those are the only two options. No story, no holding cell, no sit back here and wait. No, maybe your family can get you out. No, there is no bell for hell. It is an eternal sentence. We must make the decision before we leave this life. I'm all wound up. Y'all are falling asleep. How can that be possible? Spiritual battle. Verses 33 through 37 says, through faith they subdued kingdoms. Boy, the power of God. They wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Incredible. Now, One of the boys asked me the other day, why didn't those lions eat Daniel? God didn't let them. They said, what, were they hungry? I don't know if they weren't hungry when Daniel was in there, but when Daniel got out and they threw the other guys in there, those lions were hungry. It was God's will, God's presence, God's power. God, but these men, it says, they stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched violence of fire. Remember those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They didn't put out the fire, but the fire had no effect on them. You see, the difference between these heroes who were willing to go all the way for God and some people today is that we're afraid we might get hurt. That means we don't really believe that God could do these things. Hey, if he could do it back then, he could do it today. Because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. In fact, he made a statement. He said, I change not. Doesn't get any more clear than that, does it? I change not. So the God that parted the Red Sea and the Jordan, the God that saved Daniel from the lions, the God that gave David and Samuel power over lions, is the God of today. The fire, the violence of the fire, they quenched it. Verse 34, they escaped the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. Amen, we need that. They waxed valiant in the fight. In other words, they didn't whimper and they didn't cower. They stood tall and they said, come and get it. They took it to them. They waxed valiant in the fight. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. They ran them off. Now, I can remember an occasion when God's army turned tail. You probably remember that as being Ai. Why? They didn't have the power of God on their side. They had no business going. We don't have any business fighting God's fight if we don't have God. It begins with a relationship with the Almighty by acknowledging our sin and acknowledging His provision. God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died for me, and I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. I give my life to you. I surrender all to you. That's where it begins. And then by His Holy Spirit, He guides us in life. Verse 35, women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured. Hold on a second. You see that shift? Good news, power, authority, victory. And all of a sudden he says, now let me tell you the other side. Guys, I'm not here to tell you that if we go all out for God and we say, I'm going to live for God no matter what, I'm not saying you're going to get every victory. I would love to be able to tell you that you'll get every victory. I love to say that every battle and win every war and come home and live peacefully. But I'm telling you, that's not reality. Not in this sense of today and not in the sense of the Word of God. God does not lie. He shows us both sides. Some will die for the cause. There's a term, martyr. Have you read the Bible, the book of Revelation? And the term martyr. And there are some, it says, these under the altar, who are these? And he says, these are they who were martyred. Well, what about the ones in history? Was he talking about the ones that lived before us? I'm here to tell you, he's talking about ones today that are being killed around the world today for standing in their faith, for standing against the lies of Islam, standing for the truth of Jesus Christ. And they're being killed in China. They're being killed in Africa. Why? Because they won't renounce Christ. Today, in this world. By the way, the rate we're going, it won't be long until it's here. Pastor, how can you say, I wish I couldn't? But it's time to warn you. If we don't wake up and take a stand, if we don't wake up and become verbal, if we continue to cower and hide the gospel, and we can go to church and we can talk freely about it in God's house, we got to talk about it out there. and the Constitution and our rights. And there will be some casualties. He says in verse number 30, others were tortured. I am not a fan. I don't want that. Did they get into it to be tortured? No. They stood for the Word of God and it cost them something. They stood for truth and freedom and right and it cost them something. I don't know if y'all know it. Brother was a POW. You know, these guys come back from war and they've experienced these things. They don't talk about it openly. Brother Coxwell, the stories that he had, again, he didn't share them. But he was, the things he did were incredible. Why? Because he signed that blank check and he said, whatever it costs. That's honor. That's devotion. And we need it today. We need it as a country and we need it as Christians. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. They were tortured. Oh, faith. You can give up. You can tell your secrets and we'll let you go. You can turn and betray your country and we'll let you go. You can betray Christ and we'll let you go. You remember that young lady who stood up in that school? I believe it was in Columbine and they said, renounce your faith and we'll let you go. She said, I'm not renouncing Jesus. If she had just renounced, she could have walked out. They wouldn't have killed her. But she said, there's something worth living for, and if it's worth living for, it's worth dying for. Verse 36, others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. Why? All they were doing was preaching the gospel. But listen, when you preach the truth, you're going to have to take a stand against what's wrong. And stand against what's wrong is what got them in trouble. Verse 37, they were stoned. They were sawn asunder. The prophet Isaiah, they cut them. We love Isaiah, don't we? We love the truth of the book of Isaiah. By the way, those who reject Christ reject Isaiah. Because Isaiah told the truth about Jesus. And they killed him. They were tempted, slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskin, goatskin, destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Hold on a second. I don't mind dying, but I'm not going to be destitute for God. I don't want to suffer. Isn't that really where it is today? As long as it doesn't cost me anything, I'll go. This comfortable, casual Christianity is not working. This leisurely, convenient Christianity doesn't. Let me tell you something. These guys, it wasn't about convenience. It wasn't casual at all. They were all in. It wasn't wimpy faith. It wasn't fickle faith. It wasn't shallow faith. They believed it to the bone. And they preached it and they lived it and it cost them. Well, what if it cost your job? I'm still going to do it. What if it cost your family? I'm still going to do it. What if it cost you your church? You know, there are pastors under pressure teaching the truth because the church, some churches don't want that. By the way, sometimes it's not churches. Sometimes it's one or two people in there. Building power and authority and trying to get their own way. And so they lose to the point where they're destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Y'all read 38 already? Of whom the world was not worthy. These men are so honorable. These people were so honorable. we don't deserve to stand in their shadows. Now here's the question. Are we that type of Christian? Do we hold our faith, do we hold God so dear to us that we are willing to go the distance? Do we love our country that much that we are willing to go the distance to fight tyranny, foreign and domestic, all enemies, foreign and domestic? And some in this room, in fact, many in this room, have taken that oath. Are we willing? Do we have what it takes? Oh, he says they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves. And you know they did all this, verse 39, having obtained a good report through faith, but they received not the promise. You see, the payoff wasn't there. Those guys who died in the Revolutionary War, they got to see what they paid for. Those guys who died in every war since didn't get to see the outcome on this side. But they believed in something they could not touch. So they went the distance. We have got to believe. We've got to hope. Even if we don't experience it, we've got to do it for the next generation. Again, I'm not talking about a physical battle or a physical revolution. I'm talking about a spiritual battle, the battle of truth, the battle of right. And so we, in the Word of God, find the truth, share that truth, and become the leaders who lead to righteousness and liberty and to peace. You see, warriors don't go to war because they want to fight. They go because they want the peace. I won't name, but it was a general, and I won't name him because I don't want to get it wrong. But he said, we fight for peace. The goal is peace. The goal is not war. I don't want to be in conflict with my countrymen. I don't want to be in conflict with my brothers and sisters. I just want truth and peace and righteousness to prevail. Let's stand. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I need to know God's will in my life. First, you need to know God. Would you right now pray from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I am a sinner and I know you died for my sins, died for my soul. I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. Would you pray and ask God's forgiveness? Maybe you're already saved, but you say, you know, the truth is, I realize how selfish I am. How I don't consider others, consider the needs of others. I just think about myself. And now as we reflect on those who died for our country and those who died for our faith, you realize I've got to live beyond myself. I've got to think of others. Would you pray and say, God, take me beyond myself to make a difference. God's people won't fall in love with God's word and choose to go no matter what, then the cause is lost. if true patriots won't stand up and fight back again in a spiritual sense, fight back against tyranny, the cause is lost. How sad that we could let so many give so much, and then in the final mile we lay down. I won't do it, and I pray you won't either. All right. Anything else before we're dismissed? Was that pretty heavy? Y'all are really quiet. Love you. Appreciate you allowing me away for a few days, and appreciate Brother Ronnie filling in. You gonna lead the singing too, Brother Ronnie? Better find a volunteer quick. All right. Anyway, we'll be back tonight, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night at 7:00, and Wednesday morning, don't forget Brotherhood Breakfast, 8:30 in the fellowship hall. Is there anything else? All right. Yeah, I've got camp forms up here. Don't take them yet because I got to make copies, all right? But they're here, and so we'll get all that arranged. If you want to go, get with me, and we'll get you what you need to go to camp. Tropical Island Paradise. Paradise. 5-day getaway, all expenses paid. Where's that guy from Price is Right when you need him? All right. The Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Bill Sanders. Would you dismiss us, please?